It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
It's exciting to be joining you on our third season of the Live Greatly podcast. In case you're new to the show, I'm Crystal Bauer, a wellness expert on a mission to help you thrive personally and professionally. If you're ready to thrive, I invite you to subscribe and follow season three, because each week I'm sharing conversations with incredible individuals about life, wellness, and success. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
Actually, anyone that competes in a cooking competition on camera, that's a whole other beast.
I have an incredibly talented and fun guest here for you today, Eden Grinchpan. Eden is the host of Top Chef Canada, and she's the author of Eating Out Loud, Bold Middle Eastern Flavors for All Day, Every Day. Eden has traveled the world. She's learned about different cultures, food, and cuisine. We're going to be talking about some of the big life lessons she's had from all of her experiences, how she's navigated being in front of the camera, and how she's gotten to where she is today. I'm so incredibly excited about this episode. Let's jump into it and welcome Eden to the show.
Eden, so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here too.
Amazing. So you are joining us from Toronto, and yeah, you were telling me you were in New York yesterday. So you're traveling, you're doing lots of really cool stuff. To start, I would just love for you to share a little bit about what you're currently up to and what's getting you excited these days.
Oh, wow. Well, I just actually had a pop-up at an amazing Middle Eastern restaurant in the city called Shuket. And I cooked with Aisha. She just got nominated for a James Beard Award. Like, she wow. is out of control, talented and amazing. And I love her so much. So there was the Cherry Bomb Jubilee that happened this past weekend. And we came together as one of the events that the Jubilee, that Cherry Bomb actually promoted on their guide. So we had a lot of different people, talent from across the country, female chefs, and eat at the restaurant, and also just like an incredible turnout. Yeah. So I just came back from doing that, and it was such a big success that I think that I'm going to be focusing on doing pop-ups around the country, which I'm really excited about, and working on my next one currently at a restaurant that I love and I think would be the perfect fit for something like this. So I'm definitely excited about that. And everyone stay tuned. I'll be talking all about it on my platform. But you know, I'm a mom of two. I have a 10-month-old and an almost 5-year-old. And it's really right now, you know, all about the balancing act of motherhood and, you know, creating really incredible projects and opportunities with a lot of really inspiring people. So there's a lot of that. I'm very active on my social media, creating a lot of like food content and reels, which has been a lot of fun. And, you know, focusing on recipe development. And oh, and I'm shooting another season of Top Chef Canada this summer. So there's a lot of really great things happening. And I find finally now it's, you know, things are really starting to come together.
Amazing. Okay. So I love how at the end you're like, oh yeah, by the way, yeah, I'm filming another season of Top Chef Canada.
Another season of Top Chef this summer, which is going to be great. So
yeah, it's amazing. So I mentioned to you, my husband and I are watching it, and it is so fun. And honestly, like, it makes me want to try all of these people's food. But as far as like getting into that industry, how did this start for you? How did you get really excited and passionate about food? I would love to hear that journey. And then also, like, were there any setbacks along the way? Because obviously now you're doing amazing things. You're really visible. You're on TV. You have a great book. You have wonderful platforms, but you know, that's not something that happens overnight. So I would love to just like dig a little deeper into that side of things too, as far as like how you navigated any bumps in the road to get you to where you are today.
It has been a journey. It's been an amazing journey. I fell in love with food and cooking in high school, actually. And I fell in love with it through Food Network. I started watching a lot of Food Network, like Rachel Ray, the like original Iron Chef, Jamie Oliver, Nigella Lawson. You know, mm-hmm. I just could not get enough. And it really inspired me to get into the kitchen. So I started off baking. And I was kind of a troublemaker in high school. I wouldn't say that It was my favorite thing about my childhood. And when it came time to apply for university, I was really torn because I really did not find anything that I wanted to study in university or college. And it was actually my father who was the one that suggested. He said, why don't you go to culinary school? Like, you've been baking a lot. You seem really interested in learning about different cuisines. And I was like, really? Like, I didn't even know that was an option. Like, I wasn't even there. And he really came, like, he kind of pushed me in that direction, which I'm so grateful for. And he's actually the guy, he's the one that mentioned Le Cordon Bleu. I looked into Le Cordon Bleu and just so happened, one of my best friends got into London College of Fashion. So we decided to move to London together.
Wow.
And we lived together for 2 years and he studied women's wear. So like he would come home and like put me in corsets and dresses. And like, I would come home and bring him like croissants, chocolate, like sculptures, you know, it was really incredible. And obviously because I enrolled in culinary school, I felt like I'll go and learn pastry, but I'll also learn cuisine, mm-hmm. which now is hilarious. I actually love to cook. I think a little bit more than I do bake at this point in my life. But yeah, so I went to culinary school in London and on the weekends, I did a lot of traveling throughout Europe. I worked in different kitchens. And after when I graduated with the Grand Diplôme in Pastry and Cuisine, I decided that I loved traveling so much and I wasn't done with that part of my life. So I ended up going to India for 3 months.
Wow.
And I just fell so in love with it. And I took this course, you know, I didn't go alone. I went with like 7 strangers. Obviously I know who they are now, but I didn't know anything about anyone. And I didn't really do that much information about where we were going in India. I just went and I loved it. We volunteered in orphanage. I volunteered at Mother Teresa's hospice. We did a hike in the Himalayas. I lived with a Tibetan family in Dharamsala. Drank butter tea and ate lunch with like 7 monks for like 2 weeks straight. It was a life-changing experience. I loved it so much. I ended up moving to Israel and I got a job in a kitchen. And like the whole goal was, aside from living there with my cousin and wanting to be there, was to save up and to go back to India.
Okay.
And I ended up doing just that. I backpacked India, I think, for 7 more months. And I volunteered. I went back to that orphanage. It's called Ramana's Garden in Rishikesh. And I ended up, they had this cafe that was donated to them and it wasn't being run. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I reopen this for you? I just graduated culinary school. I could run this for you. Yeah. I was 21. And I ended up reopening up their cafe and taped the process. Actually, my parents recommended I do that. They're a huge part of the story. I'm very close with my parents and they clearly have great vision.
Yeah.
And very creative, you know, to just suggest I do that. So I reopened it, I ran it, I taped it. I didn't really think anything of it. And then I ended up moving to New York after my trip. I traveled through Southeast Asia. I went back to Israel and then I ended up in New York and I cut that video into a reel. And I was working at a bakery in the Lower East Side. Basically, I learned about this big time agent. I decided to bring that video to him. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks later, they got back to me. And that was kind of the beginning of my television journey. After that, I met my business partner at the time, Samantha Schutz. We created a show concept that we ended up selling to the Cooking Channel.
The
concept was called Eat and Eats. And it was about people who immigrated from all over the world and how they recreated their culture and customs through food in the United States. And we sold that show to the Cooking Channel. And that was the first job that I had in television. Since then, it's been just this incredible journey of, you know, different opportunities. After Eat and Eats, I sold Log On and Eat with Eat and Grinchpan. And then I was like a guest judge on Donut Showdown, Sugar Showdown. I was on Iron Chef. I was on Beat Bobby Flay. You know, I kind of made my round. That led me to being a guest co-host on Big Morning Buzz with Nick Lachey, which is like the most amazing thing ever. Like I think about that now and it's the best time. He's the best guy. So I went live like every week from Times Square with Nick Lachey.
Oh, so fun.
NBD. And then after that, I got Chopped Canada judge. And that led me to becoming the host of Top Chef Canada.
Wow. Okay. So you have been rocking it. I mean, this is amazing. Now,
it's a journey. It is a journey.
Right? I mean, like, there, I don't even know how many things you mentioned there, but
it's a lot.
I want to like backtrack for a minute because you shared so many interesting things. Now, when you were in India, you said you had a life-changing experience. I would just love for you to share some of the insights you gained from living that type of life, because that's not something that I think a lot of people can relate to with the hustle and the bustle of like everyday living that most of us deal with. And, you know, I'm really into meditation. And so I'm so fascinated by all of that. So I would love to hear just like any big takeaways you had from that experience.
Well, you know what? I think what was so amazing about it is because I felt this calling to India, even though I didn't know that much about it. There was something so amazing and beautiful and colorful and exotic that I really wanted to be a part of. And I was like, I'm going here. And I feel like because I had really no expectations of what I was going to experience, I think that was even the most beautiful part about it. It's kind of like the biggest gift to not really, to just kind of like walk into something and not really know what you're about to explore. And it was this sensory overload of amazingness. Just, I flew right into Delhi. I was 21. And again, I think putting yourself in new environments, switching things up, trying something different really teaches you a lot about who you are as a person. And I think that that is something I always try and like, I say to Ido, like we have two girls. I don't even know if I'm going to be like, you have to go to college. I'm going to be like, you have to travel. Like, I want you to take this time to travel. I want them when they're done high school, take a year or two and like go and find out who you are and find out about the world and find out about people. And because I was very fortunate. I grew up traveling and I had a lot of really cool experiences, but like I never did any of it by myself. And I never got to like make my own rules, my own lead. And it really kind of gave me this amazing sense of independence. And also it gave me this idea that the world is just, when your life is happening, there's so much other life that's happening. And I know that's so obvious, but when you actually experience something on your own for the first time, it's really eye-opening. And I also learned the ability of how you can give back so much. Just one person can make such a difference. I did, and I learned about that through working at, you know, the orphanage and the hospice. And like, I think about it, it was just a moment in my life where I was just so happy. Like I found like a true happiness. Mm-hmm. Like I'm very happy now, but this amazing confidence in myself that I don't think I understood before that. I think people should always try and do things that are new. If for a lot of people, going to India with like 8 strangers by yourself is scary and intimidating because you don't know people and you don't know, you know, if you haven't been there before, you don't know where you're going into. And I always say like, it was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Amazing. Wow.
I have my husband and, yes, and 2 kids. So like, those are the things that are, yes, the best that ever happened to me, but you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Such a cool, interesting experience. And thank you for sharing all that. Now I want to like shift gears a little bit. I've heard that working in kitchens can be really stressful. I've heard that. And I've also seen through TV shows that, you know, the high stress environments and, you know, sometimes the yelling and the pressure and, you know, people are waiting on you. So I'm curious how you have navigated that stress. And then also with you being on TV, you know, that's another unique type of stress and pressure. So what do you do to help yourself stay grounded and to navigate, you know, all of that pressure and things you may experience in those environments?
You know, I've worked in many kitchens and also many sets. They're both very different kinds of stress. Mm-hmm. Actually, anyone that competes in a cooking competition on camera, that's a whole other beast. Obviously I host Top Chef Canada. So anyone that makes it onto that show, first of all, like they go through a really big interview process and just making it on is, I always say this to them. I'm like, you're all winners.
Yes. I love it.
You did it. You're all winners. Take that away, you know, from this experience. Because I think what a lot of people don't even recognize or think about is being on camera is really stressful. Cooking for like some of the most amazing chefs in the country is one of the most stressful things. They really obviously want to show you what they can do. And this competition is a big deal. And these people's opinions are a big deal to them.
Yeah.
But like actually going into a cooking competition is like anyone that does it, hats off to them. Really, it takes kahunas, you know, yeah. Like you definitely need balls to do. Personally, you know, because I've worked in kitchens and I work on set, I find that it's all about balance and moderation. And, you know, I'm not working in a kitchen currently. So my hours aren't, when you're on set, your hours are crazy. When you're in a kitchen mm-hmm. working, your hours are crazy. Right now I'm kind of, you know, at home creating my own hours. And I find that just like making sure that I get as much sleep as I possibly can and as much family time. And also I think working out is always safe to me. Pilates, yoga, you know, I've lived in New York for 13 years. I walk everywhere. It's crazy the amount of walking I do. So that is definitely important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Movement, such a great stress reliever. So those are all really great insights and tips. And I would like to talk a little bit about your book, because that's something that you put a lot, I'm sure, of heart and soul into it. And I would love to know a little bit about it, and also what types of like food influences or what cultural influences you've had in your food and your recipes.
Yeah. So I came out with my book, Eating Out Loud, September 2020, such a labor of love. Honestly, I feel like I birthed a baby. I'm so proud of this book. And, you know, I'm half Israeli. I've gone to Israel every summer of my life. I lived there for a couple of years. I married an Israeli man. His whole family's there. My sisters moved there, had babies. Like, I'm very tied to the country and the food. And once you start cooking this way, it's like kind of hard to not. Or for me, it's very much Middle Eastern cuisine is very veg forward. And I'm not going to, you know, I find that the balance that you get from eating this way just so happens to be really good for us. And it's not even like I'm trying. It just, it is what it is. So many dips, mezes, salads, grains, legumes. It just has a really beautiful variety of vegetables and like things that just make us feel really good. So I'm always inspired by the food that I have there. And I love cooking that way. And Eating Out Loud is very much my kind of take on a lot of classic dishes. I call it my contemporary Middle Eastern recipes. And yeah, I just wanted to make food that was really accessible, really just veg forward, feel good, and happy. You know, I am not perfect or precious in any way. I like to be able to grab things. I'm a mother of two, and I tried to really think about that while I was putting together these recipes. Like, what realistically do I want to do and how I want to eat and how, you know, I cook for my friends and my family and what they love. Right. So I really took that into account when I was putting this book together. And you know, my most popular chapter is Making Veg the Star. And I think that it's just because people want to, you know, have like a really like nice balance. And I find that this book just like naturally lends itself to that kind of a lifestyle.
So I would love to hear a couple of your like go-to recipes as a mom, because you're busy and, you know, you're doing a lot of different things. So sometimes, you know, you may not have, oh yes, I love it. There's a picture of the book and I need to get myself a copy because I'm always down for new recipes. I love it. That photo is beautiful.
Thank you.
But what are a couple of your like favorite go-to recipes if you don't have like hours to prepare?
Well, I think what's really fun about this book is like my first chapter is all about dips and condiments. I'm a really big condiment person. And I find that that can really make your dish sing that much more. So I definitely think it's about kind of like stocking your fridge with the right kind of tools so that you can easily whip together like some roasted veg, a salad, just even like a roasted chicken. One dish that, you know, I go to over and over again is I have like a tahini Caesar salad that is like incredibly easy to put together. Instead of egg, I emulsify with like tahini. So it has a nuttiness and it really coats the lettuce beautifully. I serve it with some radishes, and then I caramelize some walnuts. So you also have, you know, when you add in that tahini, you have that source of protein as well. Plus you have the walnuts on top of that, but it's just like a beautifully delicious, layered, flavorful salad. These salads that I have in here aren't like salads when you think, oh, a salad. It's not like that. It's like, I eat my chopped veg salad at least 5 times a week. It's cucumbers and tomatoes and peppers tossed with olive oil, fresh lemon juice, and salt. You can throw feta on there. You can throw seeds on there. You can throw grilled chicken or fish or whatever. It's a lot of these recipes are like these beautiful foundations to also play around with.
Yeah.
That are really easy to weave into your everyday. This book is for everyday eating. It's not for special occasions. There are definitely like specialty spices and condiments, but I made a point to not just call on them once in the book. I use them several times. So if you do have to go out and buy something new, you will see I weave it in over and over again throughout different recipes. And nothing is too, you know, hard to find or too exotic, especially if you can't find it. I do have like a shawarma blend that you can make. There's a recipe. Got it. But, you know, I make one bread and I'll show you like a couple different ways to use it in different recipes.
Perfect.
But it's, you know, it's just, I'm just so proud of this book. Like when I signed this book deal, I sat down and wrote down 85 recipe titles off the top of my head. Like I knew exactly what I wanted to put out there. They've just been like recipes that I've gone back to over and over again in my life and food that I cook for my family and friends. So
all right, amazing. I'm excited to try it and I'm going to order a copy. So yay. I'm going to put a link. Yes. I'm going to put a link in the episode details. I'm also going to put links to your social media and, you know, all that good stuff so people can follow you. So we are coming close to the end, Eden. Hey. So anything else you'd like to share? I know that you're going to be potentially having these pop-ups. How can people find out about those and, you know, kind of stay in touch with everything you have going on?
Yeah. So I'm really active on Instagram at Eden Eats. Okay. I'm regularly actually, I've been doing a lot of reels with like new recipes. So just keep an eye out for that. It's been really fun. But I also have a website, edeneats.com. I'm actually just talking to my assistant about creating a whole like pop-up page. Mm-hmm. So when we really start like booking these, we can keep everything there and all the information that everyone will need. And, you know, just everything that happens, I'm very vocal about it. So if anything new comes up, I'm sure you guys will find out on my social media, on Instagram. And awesome. I started actually on TikTok too. So if you guys want to follow me on TikTok, good times.
Awesome. Amazing, Eden. Well, before we close, I have a couple just quick, fun questions for a wellness lightning round. Okay. So the first one is you're on a deserted desert island. You can only bring 3 foods with you. What 3 foods would you bring?
Oh my God. Deserted desert island. I would have to say 3 foods. Probably tomato, bread, and tahini.
Ooh, very nice. Okay.
Will there be water? I hope there's water.
You'll have water. You'll have access to water somehow, somewhere. Okay. Yes. And then the last question I have for you is, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to yourself from 10 years ago?
You know, I probably still give this advice to me because I tend to always get like overly excited and want things to happen immediately. But I'd probably just say, put your head down. Don't look outward and compare. I think it's really about focusing on what inspires you. And if you believe in it and it makes you happy, just keep doing what you do because there's nothing better than loving what you do. And it really shows through.
Love it. That's beautiful. Well, this has been amazing, Eden. Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun chatting.
Me too.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I absolutely loved sharing these insights with you. If you have a moment, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review about what you loved about this episode. Leaving reviews helps this show gain visibility so those who can benefit from it can gain access to it. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Now for a quick disclaimer, all of the information and views shared on the Live Greatly podcast are purely the opinions of the authors. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. The contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified health professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions you have regarding your specific health, your sleep patterns, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions.